This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's go, everybody. Sharp Money is live on a Tuesday with Euro 2024. First of two semifinals about to get underway and a lot for us to break down on the show. I'm Ben Wilson in for Patrick Maher. Rest of the week, Jared Smith, my compadre. We're usually together on the weekends, but now we're called up to the big leagues. Let's go. And we have action, both of us. We're about to get this thing underway here, Jared. Euro 2024 semis, France, Spain, in Munich, an arena I have actually been to. It is an awesome place to watch a soccer match.
Really?
The Allianz Munich.
Oh, so that's where Bayern plays?
Where Bayern plays.
Nice. Yeah. So I've been to one soccer match in Europe. When I went to Portugal, 5 years ago, I went to a Champions League match between, I think it was Sporting Lisbon.
Sporting, yeah.
Because I was in Lisboa. You know, that's what they call Portugal in when you're actually in Portugal. I'm not obviously from there. I think it was a team from Switzerland. I forget the name of them, but it was a Champions League match. It was like a qualifying match. It might have been FC Basel.
I'm just picturing Jared shirtless in a Speedo.
I have the picture of me. I'll bring it.
It was not
shirtless. I had one of the cool scarves. I was holding up one of the scarves of the home team, Portugal, but never been to in Germany. So this match, the only thing I've heard, I'll give you my generic analysis. I'm not a soccer handicapper, but I do kind of play one on TV sometimes. Everyone to me, like the public narrative going into this was how good France's defense is and the fact they haven't scored. So let's figure out a way to fade that. So I went both teams to score here. Two reasons. One, I feel Spain, they've scored in every match. I know France has not really conceded much, but I do think Spain gets one. And everyone's talking about France not scoring. Well, Spain's without two of their key central defenders today, who are both on yellow card suspension. So I thought if there was a match for France to maybe open things up a little bit, plus money. I mean, you get plus money at two of the best teams on the planet to just score one stinking goal each. I felt like it was a fair wager today as we sit here and sweat this thing out.
You're basically betting on a 1-1.
1-1. Which, I think 2-1 Spain's going to be the final, but I think 1-1's very fair.
And total has been some books, DraftKings all the way as low as 1.5. This has been a tournament for the unders, which is part of why that general narrative is what it is, over 1.5, heavily juiced. Other books you could find total of 2s, which are a little bit more fairly juiced. This ends up going off Spain -130 to advance, slight favorites here over France. But it was fascinating how Didier Deschamps, the France manager, Jared, was coming out trying to defend his attackers, defending Kylian Mbappe, basically saying, look, the guy's been playing with a broken nose since the first match. It's the rest of the team who has to help create opportunities, and they just have struggled to do so. I think from your perspective, you're looking at numbers, right? And you're getting to a perspective where, yes, while both teams have been very good at the back, and both teams have struggled in the final third, respectively, you have enough world-class talent there that as you get to a certain threshold, both teams' score price becomes very palatable. Do I agree in general with your thought here, Jared? No. I mean, I played a first half under. I would not
That's
be surprised.
Fair. First half draw has been a very popular bet for me.
If things start to open up in the second half, that would not stun me, especially if you see a team go ahead and all of a sudden you get into a chase mode from a team down 1-0. But I would be shocked if you get, you could play the under half, first half goal at a plus price, or you could do the one, under one, which at least
one
gives
is
you
where
some,
I would go.
That gives you some push protection.
Then two, you have to think of it win-loss. I know pushes are kind of ugh, but in soccer, pushes are A, very common, B, kind of advantageous if you can really play the market. Two goals being scored in the first half is a hefty toll. So that's the only way you lose.
Sure.
And that feels to me safe. Very safe.
That's the way I attack this. But it's a great point of even if we disagree on our interpretations of the match, numbers still can dictate a bet, Jared. And that's where I still think you find good value, even if we're on, technically, we're on opposite sides here. What is funny, though, Jared, is I've had, I think, 3 different shows where we've been on live where I've had under 2.5s in the match. And a team has scored in like the 3rd minute while we were breaking down the match.
That's the worst.
Luckily, still won the bet because things just stopped. But there was some hilarity, too. I feel like every time I've been talking about a live match, there is a goal. So you're
going
to want me to talk the whole show.
You almost ask yourself, what is the best script for your bet to play out? And a lot of times when you bet an over, when there's that early lightning strike, it's like almost too much of a shock to the system and everything kind of shuts down. Whereas if you kind of slowly build and then get that mid to late first half goal, then you've got a chance, I think, to get another one before half. And that's when things kind of get out of hand. But Yeah, usually you don't see goals in the – what was it? I think both times that I faded Turkey in this tournament, they scored in the first, like, 5 minutes of the match. What was against Austria? It was, like, the quickest goal in the history of European Soccer Championship play. But it does seem like – now, again, first 5 minutes could be a very changing strategy. Spain does seem to be, like, they're on the front foot. They look to be playing more direct. That seems to be the early vibe. I think France's defense is going to be tested in this match. We'll see if the French offense can respond, but my guess is they are going to be kind of up against. Oh, that was a very
Spain.
Close.
As you're talking, Spain gets a free header in the box in the fifth minute and puts it over the bar. The first of the two semifinals. We will get our full breakdowns a little bit later. We'll be on the air live again tomorrow, Jared. Can't wait for England and the Netherlands. England, slightly greater favorite, but again, on the two advanced market. These are both pretty tightly lined, as we'll talk about that a little bit later, Ed.
That was, I'll be honest,
he should have done
much better there.
Yeah.
But and again, I'm not this soccer expert, but you watch enough of these matches we've watched now. This, I think, is the 30-something match, you know, we've seen so far. You can just kind of tell when there's a little spring in the step early, whereas some teams, like England, for example, just look so content to play slowly. The first 5 minutes here, Spain brought some intensity. We'll see if France can answer. I thought this felt like the final. Like, to me, this feels like the final. England and Netherlands have both looked the weaker. That side of the bracket has been significantly weaker. That's why I put a little bit of a future on England once we saw the Sweet 16 draw.
Sure.
Because I'm like, how did they not get to the final? And then you worry about the rest later. You had a 4 or 5 to 1 ticket on England right now. But this feels like the two best teams in the tournament, defense, France, Spain, offense, and we'll see which one kind of has the better of the two.
I'm with you. Fabian Ruiz, that free header, the PSG defenseman, so playing against the country where he applies his trade for on the club level. 7th minute there, if you're wondering, we track the expected goals all the time. That alone, Jared, was about a half goal of XG,
which basically
means he should have put it in the back
of the
net.
If Spain doesn't score, I'm going to be really mad in this match, because The worry for me was France. The worry for me was France. Like, I felt very comfortable Spain was scoring at least one goal today. I know France has been fantastic defensively, but Spain is different. And I thought with the tactics of not having those two key defenders, Spain probably said, hey, we better score a couple of goals today because we're kind of vulnerable in that in that central back line. So we'll see. Again, the first 7 minutes of a 90-minute match, this thing could swing a million times. That might be the best chance Spain gets the whole match. But it looks to be like they're playing more direct, and they're definitely seeing some creases here with France's defense.
Wyatt Tomczyk, our producer today, Wyatt will appreciate that when I went to this arena, the Allianz Munich, great bratwurst, Wyatt.
Oh, good. Love a good
bratwurst. I basically felt like I was at Miller Park East or Lambeau Field East.
Any
the brats.
Just regular broad or any like specialty?
Oh no, they have the kraut. They've got everything. I forget they asked me something in German and then I had no idea what they were saying. I think they were
Sprechen Sie German.
No, I did not. My only knowledge of German is the scene in Step Brothers, which we're not going to repeat here because it's safe for the audience. But no, great. Anyway, great environment, great atmosphere there. We'll keep you posted on how this plays out, especially get you an update at half or when there are goal scores. Hopefully for Jared's sake, that means a couple updates
there's
here throughout
be one,
the show.
I think there's going to be one in the first half.
We just got one. You said I had to just keep talking.
Wow.
And now I have to sweat how the rest of the half. Kola Muani puts it in against the run of play here.
We
it was
should be
all Spain
one already.
And it
we should already be 1-1 with
be
the
1-1.
Ninth minute. We should be already done with this bet. But now
the impenetrable now back line that is Spain has been
that's what happens when
upon.
You get two when you get two of their best defenders out. Now, I'll be honest. I'll be an old man yelling at the clouds here. I hate this yellow card rule. You only get one yellow card the whole freaking tournament, and it doesn't reset until the next round. Like, so you get one yellow card. You can have one yellow card, the three group stage matches, round of 16, and quarterfinals. And then if you get a second yellow card in that five-game stretch, you will miss the match. Here's why I hate it. The odds of you being on a yellow card by the fifth match is pretty high. And then you get that second one, and you miss a semifinal. That's too punitive, I think. A yellow card that you got in the first group stage match might force you to miss a semifinal. And now Spain, I'm not saying this is why, but they're without two of their best defenders today. And France hasn't scored at all. And now, first 10 minutes, boom.
A lot more wide open than, even with your bet, we would have expected to start things off. I guess Kylian Mbappe, all he had to do was take off the mask, because beautiful cross in. Mbappe,
oh, that was
assist.
Mbappe with the cross.
Randall Colomwani, another PSG player, gets the goal, and it is 1-0 to the French. Live line now, France minus 290 wow. to advance, Spain plus 210 in your total. If you were looking to bet this under, well, you've at least gotten a better number. You can take under 2.5 at a plus 130.
I would consider that now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the first regulation goal that France has had in this?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Non-run of or non-PK, too. They've only scored PKs or extra time. That's it. It's really been, it's been weirdly, it's been very strange. But, yeah, Spain, how quickly after I said we're going to get one in the first half of this score? I want to say that was at least, it was like less than 10 seconds.
Pretty amazing. That was also, wild. My run continues, Jared. This has been pretty incredible. Me talking about live soccer and talking about unders, I bet, only
I
for teams
thought,
to
I
score
just
live.
The number today, the total was just like.
It really did get hammered, I mean, over the last 3 days to the point where, yes,
because
anything.
All I heard was France can't score, and they haven't conceded. And they, frankly, they've already done one, and they should have done a second, both of them already, in the first 10 minutes of this match. And now, because of the tactics of getting this early goal, France is just going to sit and wait. You might, I'll be honest, 1-0, I wouldn't be shocked if they can defend their tuckuses off for 80 minutes.
The tuckus. We get the first reference of that at 3:11 p.m. Eastern time. We'll talk some news of the day as well. There was some big NFL and college football news that has come down the wire. We want to break that down. Some interesting perspectives as a result on some of the futures markets in CFB. We'll take a look at all of our guests as well coming up as we're just getting underway on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. To access this invaluable guide, you have to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. You get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of our usual $240 price, and it's a special bonus. We'll add an extra month for free. That is 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content with premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all of our betting guides like the NFL guide to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. VSiN.com/subscribe and use our promo code SHARP to get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 and gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. VSIN.com/subscribe, promo code SHARP. As we're underway, Euro 2024, we'll keep you posted here throughout the show. I'm Ben Wilson. He's Jared Smith. Wyatt Tomchick, our producer, a big fan of what NFL Network is showing right now here at Bar Canada.
Here we go.
Which is, Wyatt?
Super Bowl 45, the Green Bay Packers
you remember
versus...
the number, too.
Oh, yes. Dallas, Texas. February, wow. I don't know the exact
Arlington,
date.
Arlington, technically.
Yeah.
That's fair.
February 6th, 2011.
Yeah, the house that Aaron Rodgers
that's
built.
That's impressive.
Green Bay Packers winning by 6 points.
Do you remember what you had for your meal, your Super Bowl meal? Like, what was your spread?
No, I remember where I watched the game. I was 17 at the time, so I
Wyatt
watched...
was already a co-owner of yeah. the Packers.
No, not
so
yet.
He was on his private jet. He...
I was secluded in my room watching the game because okay. most people don't know or know. I get pretty intense watching sports, so I had to be just
really?
Walled off, yes.
I remember for a family party, I did not move off of my designated seat that I'd sat the entire playoffs. And
you guys are so superstitious.
That's just how it was. Well, anyway.
So I remember when
I don't even know what I would do if the Jets were in the Super Bowl because I've never seen it in my lifetime and I don't think I'm going to.
Well, so. That picture we just talked about that definitely did happen but apparently didn't of Jared shirtless at a Portuguese
right.
Champions
It'll never,
League.
That, oh, I got to find that picture.
That is probably what would happen if the Jets made the
Well, for me and Ben's sake, we hope that the Jets make the Super Bowl, just not in the next like 5 years or so because we don't want to be the bitter ex and watching Aaron Rodgers.
Really think when 5 years? You're going to give Rodgers 5 years?
I don't know with Aaron Rodgers. I'm just, you know.
From Brett Favre, you're like, I'm just going to play
do
it
we
safe.
Think so? Wait, hold on. You guys don't want the Jets to do well because you're still mad at Aaron Rodgers?
Not mad. It's just, but you're just kind of, you still got the, you know, bitter ex. We didn't
bitter
hate Brett Favre.
Jordan Love, who's like a pro bowler.
Yeah, but we, so, okay.
Yeah, I'm different than Wyatt on this. I don't really care. Whatever happens.
I think what we're doing here is we're having a therapy session with Wyatt because what I'm doing.
Come on, Ben. You got to admit, in 2009, when Brett Favre was killing it for the Vikings, you were sick to your stomach when they just kept going.
Same
and going.
Division, though.
Yes.
Yeah, it
Same
sucked.
Division.
It was not fun, but this is right. A different situation. It is not And also the way that it happened, too, where he just refused to leave. I think everybody, front office-wise, fan-wise,
learned. The Packers all wanted Rodgers gone.
They all learned from that experience. It was a much cleaner.
After that Lions disaster.
Cut of the cord when Rodgers left. It was so messy with Favre, and then you add the certain pictures of a small ilk that were circulated. I don't think that helped matters. And it was also so fresh and raw. I mean, there were literally people I knew already. who became Viking fans. Like,
yep.
Not, that's
okay. No, that you're disowned. If you change teams because of a player, no, you are loyal.
I think we're getting to the root of why you're so intense to watch sports with. Still holds on to a lot of anger. We need to get you to release that anger. You'll be a much happier person.
Well, you can Venmo Jared for this.
This is a therapy.
This 3-minute therapy session. We'll continue it.
I've got $3 in my bank account right now.
Why you can just turn around and watch that Super Bowl game while we talk some news of the day. We'll keep you posted here on the Euros. France 1, Spain 0 in the 19th minute. And nothing happening since that ninth-minute goal. France almost scored again, by the way, on a Kylian Mbappe shot there. We will keep you updated on that. There was some pretty big news of the day, though, Jared. And we're going to talk college football in a little bit. Greg Pickle coming up in about 10 minutes, who covers Penn State football for On3.com. Great insights from Greg into not only what's happening in the off-the-field situation with head coach James Franklin, but also how will Penn State in this new-look Big Ten fair in 2024, a school near and dear to Jared Smith's heart, but the big college football news of the day, though, was with Ollie Gordon, the running back for Oklahoma State, one of the best running backs in the country, over 1,700 yards last year. But he gets popped for DUI on June 30th, and a lot of question marks were arising of, will there be a suspension? If so, how long? Would it be a half of game one? Would it be all of game one? Oklahoma State hosts South Dakota State, who's one of the best FCS teams. They're only about a touchdown favorite, Jared. It's not like that is just a walk in the park week one game. But the news comes out today. They have media days in Vegas, and Mike Gundy announces that there will not be any time missed for Gordon. That is pretty significant. Market right now has Oklahoma State win total of 8 at DK, over slightly juiced at minus 120, and they have been a very popular third favorite to win the Big 12 title this year, plus 750, a conference that feels very wide open.
Yeah, I agree with you on the conference being wide open. It's going to be a very unique season in college football with all of the swappings of the teams. I mean, the Big 12 this year has, what, Utah, BYU, like just teams that you would not expect to be in the Big 12 because of all the shaken up that we're seeing across the college football landscape. So I'm not really sure what to expect from the Big 12 this year. I expected Mike Gundy to be Mike Gundy, and he was. I think they're going to handle it internally. If you're Ollie Gordon, that probably means a lot of stadium runs or whatever the Oklahoma State version of the suicide runs are. But it looks like they're going to keep the Heisman campaign on track, and I think that's probably the most important thing for Oklahoma State. I think Spain just scored. Yes, they did.
Jared wins his bet in the 21st.
Wedding.
Wow.
It looked like.
Hey, good for you, man. This has been a wide open match. Yeah, it has gone against the common narrative, and I give props to you for winning the bet.
I mean, listen.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I'm not going to brag too much because I've had plenty of terrible, terrible days betting soccer, but it felt like that number just got way too out of hand. I didn't think we were going to get 1-1 in the first 20 minutes. But that's nice to get a plus money winner out of the gate.
Lamine Yamal
have a halftime.
The 16-year-old does it again for Spain.
21 absolute firecracker. I mean, you could not have put that ball at a better spot. Upper 90, curling right off the top, the tippy top. Well, actually, not quite the top. Let's call it 7/8 of the way up the left post. And just kissed it right off the inside. I mean, that was a
good radio play by play there, Jared.
That was.
That was my old school radio play by play coming out. That was awesome. That was awesome. Nothing is better than a golazo like that.
Yes.
By the way, Ben, Charles Woodson just went to the locker room, I believe, a broken collarbone.
Okay.
So
please give us a live update.
Yeah, we
on what.
Let's go to Aaron Andrews on the sidelines for Super Bowl 44
from
13 years ago. What is also interesting, though, as we get back to really the news of the day here in college football, Ollie Gordon not going to face any sort of suspension. The exact quote from Mike Gundy, which this is about as on brand as it gets, Jared, from Mike Gundy saying, if anything, the punishment will be we have him carry the ball 50 times in our first game, which, way to live up to your brand up there, Mike Gundy. But it also gets at a greater point, which is the Big 12 this year, because it is so wide open, Utah is your favorite, but over plus 300 right now. Now, for Utah as the favorite coming in to win the Big 12, Cameron Rising back for his 29th year at quarterback in college football. Seventh, to be exact.
We're getting close to med school.
We're almost at residency.
Cameron Rising. Almost up to residency.
But I think the point, Jared, is if you are looking to bet any of these conference futures, I've heard a lot of respected bettors in the market say books have done a really good job this year with pricing conference futures. But if there's one major conference that is actually worth making a bet on futures-wise, it is the Big 12 because of the variance and because so many teams, generally speaking, are viewed to be power rated within about a touchdown of each other. And it would not surprise anybody.
Teams.
I think Oklahoma State and UCF are the two getting a lot of buzz right now. UCF at 9-1. But I think that's the way you have to approach a conference like the Big 12 instead of maybe these win totals that are more evenly juiced simply because of the variance and the possible outcomes here for Oklahoma State and UCF's, those schools of that conference are so high and so low at the same time.
I agree 100%. I think with the conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC, let's be honest, there's what, 3, 4, 5 teams max in each conference that can win. With the Big 12, there's 16 teams in the conference. What do you think, half have a puncher's chance here? That's 8 teams. And again, I think that's being conservative because I don't really know who I would eliminate at this point completely. Maybe a Houston, I don't know. Maybe a Texas Tech. I don't know enough about these teams to really, you know, completely throw them out of the gate right now. But there's a lot. Like, there's a lot of very middling teams. And, yeah, one of them is going to have a good year. Good luck picking the winner, though.
You know what's interesting?
Good luck. And they don't all play each other, which makes it also more difficult.
The thing I've heard, the common sentiment is you don't bet the favorite here. You don't look at Utah, who's plus 320 at DK. But what you do is you look at, because it's based on the new playoff format, it is widely viewed that the Big 12, being a weaker of the conferences like we're talking about, probably only going to get the one bid from the school that wins the conference. So what you do is you look at a longer shot to win the Big 12. But at the same time, I believe our colleague Paul Stone, a professional college football bettor, did this. He bet Utah just in the futures market to win the national championship, where you're getting a giant price. But it's almost like protection against these lower random teams in the Big 12 making a big run. Wow. 2-1 in the 25th minute.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I tweeted out 2-1 is my final score prediction, Spain. I did not think we'd get there in the 25th minute.
This is crazy.
This Packer game's getting real tight here, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Wyatt has his priorities in the right place.
Wow.
One game is going live. The other's 13 years ago, but Wyatt is chosen correctly.
Aaron Rodgers looks great for 38.
2-1 Spain. Wow. We'll update you on the live price, tell you about the goal score when we come back, and talk some Penn State football. Greg Pakel from On3.com.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Right now on VSIN.com, best bets from Adam Burke, who's going to be with us in studio in about an hour and a half on the day's MLB card. We also have Euro 2024 semifinal breakdowns from Nigel Seeley. There's still one more semifinal to go. And Zach Cohen, very shortly, will have his updated Wednesday plays on Wimbledon. All available along with betting splits, odds by state betting tools, and betting guides at our new look, VSIN.com, optimized for mobile. We were telling you right before the break, goal for Spain. They do it again. Total has already gone over. Jared has already won money. In less than a half hour, Danny Olmo puts it in for Spain, and they lead 2-1 here in the 30th minute as we take a look in a second, Jared, at the updated live odds. But this, even for you betting the both teams to score, couldn't have seen this start coming. As in the two advance market right now, Spain minus 360, France plus 255. If you'd bet both sides, you could have got each at a plus $2 or greater price in the two advance market just out of the gate here as we wait to see how the rest of this thing will play out. Total goals now 4.5 is your live total at minus.
I wouldn't be shocked 140 if this is the last goal we get. I wouldn't be shocked if we land 2-1.
What comes up must come down is usually a sentiment there in the international soccer. That could also be a sentiment when it comes to Penn State football. At least it's been in the past. Jared Smith, very high in his alma mater this year. As we go out to our progressive guest line, get some thoughts here from early camp on the state of Penn State football. Greg Pickle joins us right now, covers Penn State for On3.com. Trying to stay cool there in Pennsylvania as well. Not as hot as it is for us here, Greg, in the desert heat. But we hope you're staying cool. First off, just a larger question about the head coach, James Franklin, where there was buzz back in late May when the lawsuit went against Penn State and James Franklin. The ex-team doctor awarded over $5 million. There were some early rumblings that he might get a three-game suspension. There would be some sort of discipline, but that has not happened. What more has really gone on now that that story is out of the real public limelight here, Greg, and we get ready for camp as far as it relates to Franklin and just the general team feel around that situation?
Yeah, no doubt about it, guys. It's good to be with you. So James Franklin was dropped from that lawsuit over a filing technicality. I think the plaintiff in that case missed having him a part of it and some other athletic department people by a day or two. So he was not a defendant in that case. The defendant, which was Penn State Health and then someone who is on the health administration side of things, are appealing that lawsuit. So that's where it sits now, still probably moving its way back through the court system here in Pennsylvania in the Harrisburg area. But yeah, there was, you know, it was one of those stories where it was the talk of a couple days, a couple news cycles, and it's kind of filtered away and hasn't really come back up since. No indication that there's anything more coming of it from his side of things or from the Penn State athletic side of things. So we'll see how that appeal process plays out, but kind of water under the bridge, I think, for the most part, as it relates to Penn State football at this point in time.
Greg, let's go back to the field. I think when I try to wrap my head around the success that Penn State's going to have this year, it feels like, I know a lot of things are changing with the Big Ten and the schedule and all this stuff, but it feels like a very familiar story. The defense is going to be really good, and the success is going to be determined on how far the quarterback takes them. Drew Aller didn't instill a whole bunch of confidence last year. Is there reason to believe that things will be different this year? And if so, why?
Yeah, so I think there's two ways to look at that. The first one, if you're glass half full for Penn State offense with Drew Aller at the controls, is that number one, Andy Koldenicki, the former Kansas play caller, now new Penn State offensive coordinator, is going to unlock some things in his game, especially the risk factor side of it that Mike Yurcich, the previous Penn State offensive coordinator, did not unlock during the 2023 season. So I think that's number one. And then number two, you believe a receiver's room that is led by Julian Fleming, the former Ohio State receiver who transferred into Penn State this offseason, and it features guys like Trey Wallace coming back, Liam Clifford, and some others, is going to be better than it was a year ago. Because let's face it, Drew Aller has some splits and some numbers that I think a lot of people were impressed by. And he also, in the biggest games, he and the offense did not show up, as you guys know very well. So to me, I think you're hoping, if you think Penn State's going to be better on offense and Aller's going to be better on offense in 2024, is that the work Andy Koldenicki did when he got here is going to lead Aller and the Penn State receivers to a better place. Or at the very least, he's going to do a better job of utilizing Nick Singleton and Katron Allen and returning tight end Tyler Warren in ways that will allow Penn State to unlock some of the explosiveness that they had at times last year. But again, not when it mattered most in the year's biggest games.
He's Greg Pickle joining us right now on Sharp Money. Follow him at Greg Pickle, P-I-C-K-E-L, as we're talking Penn State. And we get into the schedule now, Greg. I think that's the big reason why you're seeing a lot of hype and a win total that's very high. It's 10.5 at DraftKings. Granted, that's heavy juice to the under. You can find some 10s out there as well. But I think a lot of people immediately respond to that and go, wait, 10 over 10.5 in a Big Ten that's now loaded? Well, Penn State only gets one of the top four teams in the odds board on their schedule this year, even though they do have some tough road games at USC and at Wisconsin. What did you make of how this schedule broke for the Nittany Lions, where outside of Ohio State, which is a home game on November the 2nd, it's really not as daunting as it certainly could be given how the new look Big Ten is as a whole?
Yeah, we were just talking about that this morning over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. The idea being that Penn State, from a schedule perspective, you know, it's never going to be perfect, right? But from a schedule perspective, I'm not really sure how it could have broke any better for them. I mean, you look at the number of teams on Penn State's schedule, either at home or away, that are replacing either starting quarterbacks or, in the case of Washington, obviously a lot of guys from that Huskies team a year ago. You know, so the toughest opponents on the schedule, aside from Ohio State, which of course is loaded yet again, really have a lot of question marks. And certainly in most cases, more than Penn State. So, you know, if you look at that schedule, USC, you got to go out there. Penn State has struggled at times in the James Franklin era against the best teams on its schedule, or even sometimes mediocre ones on its schedule on the road, and kind of pull out wins late or don't do so at all. So I think you look at USC and you look at Wisconsin as games where maybe things could get tricky for them. But the early part of the schedule sets up nicely. I mean, I know many think that West Virginia could be a trappish game, even though the line's 10.5 with Garrett Greenback and some some of the other guys, but they lose a lot up front and a ton on defense too. So, you know, if you survive that game, when are you challenged? What is this Penn State team challenged next with three new coordinators and obviously a lot of new faces at positions that were occupied by NFL draft guys? Where is it challenged again? I think you could really make an argument that depending on how things shake out at USC and at Wisconsin, it really could maybe face its biggest challenge, not until November, if the sort of what's on paper also matches what happens on the field. So, yeah, I'm not sure. And I think that's why you saw the early win total come out at 9.5, juice to the over. Now you have 10s and 10s and a half to the under. But it's a very favorable schedule based on what we've seen from all these teams, obviously, through the transfer portal and the spring as well.
Yeah, when I looked at the schedule, Greg, and, you know, I'm an alum. I graduated in 08. I've been through the ups, been through the downs with this team. The two spots that stood out to me as the trickiest were at Wisconsin and at Minnesota. Obviously, Ohio State's a tricky spot. You make no qualms sure about that. USC, I like the fact that they get the bye week after that. I think that is a game that is very much in their, you know, physicality realm. But the game at Wisconsin coming off of the bye the week before Ohio State just smells like a trap. And then that game at Minnesota, row the boat's always been tough. I think we lost there last year, too. I mean, it's always been a house of horrors for us. So those are the spots I think are the trickiest. Is there something about this team in their between-the-ears factor mentality-wise that you think they're a little bit tougher? Because that's always been the thing with Penn State. I feel like physically they're there, and it's just they don't have that last finishing kick to get across the finish line in some of these trickier games.
I think that has absolutely been one of the biggest issues for Penn State. You think back to the blown lead at Ohio State and even some of the games against Ohio State and Michigan where they were, you know, potentially going to keep it close and then it got way out of hand and then there was no resolve to come back. That's been a problem as well. So does this team have that? I think that we're going to see that throughout preseason camp, and it sounds like I'm dodging the question, but when you look at the fact that they did not name any captains coming out of the spring because they didn't feel like they were ready to yet, I think it indicates that player leadership is not necessarily where it needed to be coming out of the spring. And did they accomplish that this summer to get it where it needs to be? And I think that is one of the only ways to answer that question. And we're not going to be sure until I think probably the West Virginia game when we see them out there on the field on the road. If they get challenged at some point in that game, how do they respond? So does the returning group they have combined with the newcomers that are going to see expanded roles this year have that makeup based on what we've seen in the past? Yeah, I think so. But every team is different. And this one is still, I think, finding its way in that department. And of course, they don't got much time left to find it. So they got about 2 months to get all their ducks in a row. But you're right. That is the biggest challenge that Penn State will face, even when you talk about going to Wisconsin and these road Big Ten games that Penn State has had sometimes struggles with in the James Franklin era. That's been part of the reason why. And so I think ultimately, if you get a group like Drew Aller and you look over on the other side of the ball with Kobe King, I think those are the start of your leadership guys, and KJ Winston and Jalen Reed, the two returning safeties, are your stars. But James Franklin spent a lot of time talking about the need for guys to be more willing to hold each other accountable. And, you know, I think they have a couple like that. Nick Dawkins, the likely starting center, is one of them. But they need a couple more. And Julian Fleming's the receiver's helped in that regard as well. So jury's still out on that. I think, again, like so much with this team for so long, you are able to find glass half full and glass half empty. And that's been the case for a number of years now when you're trying to project out to what this team can be. And I think in this particular conversation, that's the same case as well.
Really good breakdowns from Greg Pickle joining us here on Sharp Money. Give him a follow at Greg Pickle, kind enough to join us on our Progressive guest line. So many twists and turns that we expect to be uncovered as this a new look first year in the Big Ten gets underway. Greg, can't thank you enough for the time. I'm sure we'll catch up with you here as we get closer to the start of week number one.
Yeah, I look forward to it, guys. Have a great rest of the summer, and it'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely. Jared Smith was at a 7 on his scale of 1 to 10 hype level.
I think it's a 6.5, frankly, after that breakdown, because I don't really have a lot of confidence. Not that Greg didn't do anything wrong. I'm not very confident this year, not with the quarterback.
You know, Jared always has reasons to be a little bit pessimistic.
But Drew Aller, save us.
When we come back, some updates around the board here, as well as on the Euro 2024, when we return on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That is VSiN.com/guide. A big thanks to Greg Pickle for joining us in our last segment here on Sharp Money, breaking down Penn State football. We'll have Adam Burke coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern time for a whole half hour, Jared Smith.
Wow.
Talking Major League Baseball.
Studio. I guess technically more in casino, but still similar. This is our little alcove.
Once you're inside the velvet ropes.
Yeah, the velvet ropes. The velvet ropes.
Unfortunately, we're going to make poor Adam walk from a circuit here to
it's
the
not
D.
That long of a walk. I do it all the time.
Yeah, but it's hot.
There
it's
are not the, that there hot are the velvet hot. Ropes, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
what?
Look out. Look at this is where we work. You could see it's just a. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm a big fan of this.
It's like
casino.
You're doing
really
a.
Am.
It's like you're doing a guide here to a bunch of school children. This is where we work.
This is where we work.
This is the sports book. Well, there's Sigma Derby.
Well, see, that's the thing about this place. I and my friends always ask me, "What's the D?" And I was like, that's where they have Sigma Derby. That's why it's called the D. No, I'm just kidding. That's not why it's called the D. But Sigma Derby to me is like the landmark. Derby, D. It's not that.
That could go in a lot of different directions
when they ask you that question. Could.
Way to be a professional there, Jared.
I try to keep things
Hey,
nice
how about Bacon
clean.
Nation over there? Yeah.
I've heard good things. I've never actually eaten at Bacon Nation, but I have heard good things.
I've heard good things.
Did you say there's bacon?
Yes.
Okay.
There's bacon. This has been a great tour for the school
Sigma
children.
Derby's
definitely
awesome.
Watching our show.
Yeah, the
show
school
right
children
now.
That want a tour of a casino.
Hey, man, I would
as long
love,
as they're not in the casino.
Would I have rather gone to the supermarket to see how milk is put into shelves or have gone to a casino when I was 9 years old?
Casino. I would absolutely rather go to a casino.
Well, they can get in. They can get into the
casino sooner than it actually really did.
I actually got reprimanded at what was then the Hilton is now the Westgate when I was about 9 years old for playing Sigma Derby.
Oh, this.
And because my dad was trying to play blackjack, he just wanted to, you know, he's like, just, hey, there's horses. I'll put in a quarter for you.
Wow, your dad was a great influence on you.
Didn't this start? This,
I love it.
This story started the whole "I hate Ben Wilson" that Reggie.
Yeah, it did.
By the way, that sign was going to be hung up in frame.
Who hates Ben Wilson? But, how can you hate this guy?
But Sean,
he's the nicest guy in
Sean McCollum,
business.
Our great audio guy, was really did not like that drawing
really?
Ben, and he ripped it up. He said, "I can't have this."
He ripped
Sean,
it up.
Sean's
ripped
a good it human. Up. You can't hate. Like hate is such a strong word.
Sean only hates people who don't leave their spare change in the video poker or slot machines. That's the only people that Sean McCollum hates in this world.
I didn't know that.
Sean McCollum, great resource for how to scheme Vegas. I think that's what Sean's book is. His tell-all is going to be. How I scheme.
It's famous last words.
Famous last words. We'll get back to the whimsy in a little bit. On the heels, though, of our conversation with the great analyst for Penn State football and Greg Pickle, covers them for on3.com. Jared, you are an alum. You have identified a couple of really good plus EV ways to bet Penn State this year when you consider A, a soft schedule, but B, a tendency to fail at the highest moments, right, to completely get over the hump. We do not expect them to go 11-1 or 12-0 this year, even though the schedule is pretty soft by Big Ten standards. As a result of that, Jared, how are you approaching this year in 2024?
Well, it's a pretty repeatable process that I've done for multiple different bets, types of bets. For example, I used this process during the NFL draft, which is how we got to the Brock Bowers to go to the Raiders at 60-1. Same process, and that is you take the draft position of the guy and you try to figure out which team in that little window is going to pick him. And we were fortunate a little bit that all the quarterbacks went early, and that's why Bowers fell in that spot, in that, you know, 12, 13 spot, right where he was projected to go, right to the Raiders who were sitting there to take him. So let's do the same thing, but let's apply that process to the win total and the exact wins market. So Penn State win total opened 9.5, jumped to 10.5. It seems like there's some barriers around those two numbers. Seems like 9.5 was too low, but 10.5 is too high, and we're kind of at, let's call it 9.75 or 10.25, whichever quarter win of the spectrum you want to go on. Well, the one thing about Penn State is they haven't been the ceiling, but they haven't been the floor either. Like, they've been pretty consistent. in the 8, 9, 10 win range over the last decade or so that James Franklin's been the coach. I think this year is even more so tighter range because you have less difficult games. You know, there's always two games on Penn State's schedule that you know they're going to be a dog in, and if they're not a dog, it's going to be a pick 'em, and you know they're probably going to lose because James Franklin can never beat Ohio State and Michigan. Well, guess what? Only half of those teams are on the schedule this year. It's Ohio State, and it's at home. So there's at least some hope that that game won't be as difficult as it's been at the Shoe. And then you look at the rest of the schedule, and yeah, there's some tricky spots. I think that game at Wisconsin, the look ahead for Ohio State, is very tricky. I think that game at Minnesota at the end of the year, let's say Penn State's already accomplished a high, lofty win. Let's say they beat Ohio State. Now you got to go on the road and beat Minnesota in a cold, nasty, whatever weather they're playing in Minneapolis. And oh, by the way, that's the game that maybe gets you into the playoffs. So yeah, there's tricky spots on the schedule, but I feel very confident either 9 or 10 wins is the correct answer for Penn State. We're going to trade within that narrow range that the win total's been bet up and down. So exactly 9 wins at DraftKings plus 370. Exactly 10 wins is plus 280. You put a unit on both of those, one of them hits, you come out on the plus side of the ledger. I would lean to the 9, frankly. I think 9-3 gets you into the playoff this year in the Big Ten. 10-2, I think you're absolutely in. And you're getting a bigger payout. So, I don't know, go 3/4 of a unit on exactly 9 wins at plus 370 and maybe go a full unit on exactly 10 wins at plus 280. You get a better payout on the 9. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it, because I think 9 or 10 is very much the narrow range for the Nittany Lions this year.
Just for clarification, the Ohio State game is home this year. And that's also one of those things where, hey, at the very least, you're likely going to get a, you know, that's post-Halloween. I believe that, I don't know, is that going to be technically Halloween weekend this year? Because Halloween is like midweek, but that's November the 2nd.
That's the whiteout game.
That will be the whiteout game.
Is it officially the whiteout? Because that's one thing that
I don't know yet, but I'm assuming it will be.
Because this is the thing that's been kind of frustrates me if I'm a Penn State fan, is like the whiteout is such a unique environment. It's intimidating. I mean, I go back to, you know, as a Michigan fan, Shea Patterson.
I was in attendance for the first one in 2005.
But Shea Patterson couldn't get the snap off. I had to call a timeout first play. A game like that against Ohio State needs to be the whiteout.
And it will.
And it should not be a big noon kickoff on Fox. And
Well, unfortunately, it might. Well, here's the thing that changes the math this year. We might get a home playoff game. There might be a big – I'd rather save the whiteout for that. Now, maybe you do a second whiteout, but I don't know. Home playoff game in December?
I feel like in an era where traditions are being broken all the time,
we're
going to
make
a
second whiteout. I don't know why they only do one. Frankly, I do a whiteout for every game. I mean, just do it. I mean, you got the best home field, I think, in the country.
Poor Bowling Green is just going in here, what the heck is this? I didn't sign up for this.
I think my first Penn State game that in my freshman year was against Bowling Green. I forget who they played. They played some MAC team. It might have been Akron.
If you went to a Power 5 school in the Midwest, you're likely as a student, your first college football experience was against a MAC team. Case in point for me, Missouri, Miami of Ohio.
There you go.
It was about 98 degrees and humid. Mizzou won 17-3 in just an awful football game. But
yeah, those early
that corroborates.
Games, I hated
it. It was also an 11 a.m. kickoff. That was very tough for
I hate those early
young
kickoffs.
College students figuring out the proper tailgate timeline.
I would be disappointed if they did. I mean, what you're saying makes sense. Why they're probably going to want Fox is probably going to want that game, but it does ruin a little bit of the fanfare. I think when you play it at noon,
no question. Which, well, we do have at least I'm glad we found a good betting angle with that.
I think that honestly, I don't think. That minus, is a bet that I would
minus 140 to make the playoff as well.
Yeah, see, that's
you
the
really
like,
want to lay that kind of juice when it's a season long bet, and there's so many unknowns when it comes to the selection process. This year.
I would much because to me, 9 wins gets you in the playoff. Now, of course, they could win 11 and then you lose, or they could win 12-0 from your lips to God's ears. But I don't see that happening. And again, I'm wrong all the time, but. I think 9-3 and 10-2 are the only two options I see for Penn State season. And I think the fact that you're getting, if you bet both of those, I know you got to do some math. I don't know what the exact number really is on the aggregate, but it's somewhere in the plus money territory. I think that's better than going minus odds on the playoff bet or minus odds on a win total.
I'm just glad we found a way to bet this because Jared Smith, he went from a 7 on the hype scale to a 6.5. But
I'm not excited about our season. Well, the hype scale to me is like national champ because right. The only thing you're hyping for Penn State, that's the only thing they haven't done. I've seen every other bowl game win. I've never seen a playoff game. I've never seen a Big Ten championship. I've seen a Big Ten championship. I've never seen a national championship.
What I would tell you, though, with what Greg Pickle was laying out, there's still a lot of work to be done. You don't know how the leadership is really going to pan out on both sides of the ball. Well, the positive is you don't have to face Oregon, Ohio State, or Michigan in weeks 3 through 5. You don't really get anybody until it's really you should be 5-0 going to L.A., taking on USC October the 12th. That is the perfect recipe to get your team in order. Basically treat that first month plus as a preseason and be ready to rock without a whole lot of fatigue and injury piling up as you continue. I think that'll really play into their favor this year. That's 1 hour down here on Sharp Money. When we come back, halftime at Euro 2024. A big day at Wimbledon. We'll tell you about it next.